Well, very good evening to you. My name is Adrian Watts. I'm one of the leaders here at Trinity Church, and I'd like to add my welcome to you this evening. We're going to have a look now at the real message of Christmas, and to help get us thinking, we're going to watch a short video. We know where to shop at Christmas now. This is the John Lewis Christmas advert 2013. And yet again, it has dominated the limelight. On YouTube, it's had over 10 million views. And that's 10 times more than the next most popular Christmas ad. Well, what's the big deal? Why do people watch it? Well, the advert cost around £7 million to make. And so it could be that people are interested to see what £7 million can buy these days. Or you may have read that the advert isn't just animated drawings, but stop-motion animation. The makers built intricate sets and actual models, and much of it was filmed in a studio. A brilliant piece of stop-motion animation. Maybe that's why people watch. But if you read some of the comments that people have been making about the advert, the thing that stands out, the thing that has touched people, is the story itself. The advert, after all, tells a story. But it's not just any old story, it's a story with a happy ending. We're led to think that Hare will spend Christmas on his own, yet as Bear comes over the horizon, woken up by a John Lewis alarm clock, the story ends with all the animals enjoying Christmas together. People love the advert, because they love the story. But why? Why do we like stories with happy endings? I appreciate at this point, you may not particularly like the bear, the story of the bear and the hare. But even if you don't like that particular story, it's interesting that many of the stories that we tell and enjoy are ones with happy endings. I was spending a weekend with my godson last month, and when it came to bedtime, he asked me to read him a story. And he laid out 7 or 8 of his favourite books on his bedroom floor. And he asked me to pick the one that he wanted me to read to him. And so I said to him, "Do all of your stories have happy endings?" He looked at me as if I'd asked a silly question and replied, "Of course they do." And then I said, "Why do all your stories have happy endings?" Well, at this point, his patience ran out and simply gestured towards the books to say, "Pick one and read it." But it's not just children who love stories with happy endings. You know, many of the novels that we will read or the films that we'll enjoy this Christmas are stories that have happy endings. Miracle on 34th Street, A Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life. Whether we're young or old, we do seem to like stories with happy endings. Why? Now, humanity hasn't always told stories like this. Take the Greeks. Their favourite story was the tragedy. And that's a story in which the main character is brought to ruin or suffers extreme sorrow. And this is all because of his or her own moral weakness and unfortunate circumstances. Let me give you an example. Consider a Greek tragedy version of the bear and the hare. Bear and hare meet in the wood. Hare talks to him about looking forward to celebrating Christmas. But bear explains that he'll be hibernating throughout the winter, as bears do. Bear goes to his cave to hibernate, but as he's settling down, he decides instead to hold off hibernating till the new year and celebrate what for him will be his first Christmas. He takes a snooze, and while he is asleep, Hare, who thinks Bear's hibernating, goes to Bear's cave and hides a small present behind a rock. Come Christmas Eve, Bear decides to make preparations for his Christmas dinner. He goes to Hare's house and kills him. He takes him back to the cave and puts him in a pot to cook. While Hare is slow cooking, Bear turns in for the night, only to be woken abruptly by the sound of ringing the following morning. Finding a small present behind a rock in his cave, he unwraps it to find a John Lewis alarm clock going off. The note on the label says, "Happy Christmas, Bear. Hope you'll join us to celebrate together. Love, Hare." As Bear looks towards the cooking pot, he realises what he has done. Now, we tend not to like stories like this, and John Lewis knows it. But the Greeks loved it. Why? Well, the Greeks told tragedies because they reflected what the Greeks believed about the world. They believed that history was moving from life to death. They thought that, sure, the world had begun well with plenty and joy, but the world was bound to degenerate and decline until it spluttered and whimpered to a halt. For them, the golden age was always in the past. And given that that was their story of the world, their worldview, that was then reflected in the stories that they told to one another, the tragedy. Well, what worldview then leads to stories with happy endings? Well, let's consider a few possibilities. One worldview, that's one way of thinking of the world, is called materialism. That is the view that the only thing that matters is matter, that what we see is all there is. And it's actually a very popular way of thinking and living today. And you can see it in the way that people give themselves to the collection of possessions. Well, what kind of stories would a materialist tell if they were true to their beliefs? Well, they might tell the story of how Bear kits out his new cave with all the latest stuff from John Lewis. A Christmas hamper, scented candles, and an iPad Air. Yet that's not the story that John Lewis tells. And it's interesting that the advert hardly mentions stuff at all. Apart from the alarm clock, there's no gifts. There's no mention of gifts that John Lewis sells. See, that's not what they're selling in the advert. They're not selling stuff. They're selling a story. But why do we buy it? Or what about evolutionism? This is the story of the survival of the fittest. Through countless cycles of life and death, the weak die and the strong live. And if that is our story of the world, then what stories would we tell if we were true to this? Well, we might try and run with the bear and hare story so far, but maybe when the bear wakes up, he massacres all the other animals. In this way, he establishes his superior strength and dominance over all the species, and therefore continues this perpetual cycle of the survival of the fittest. I wonder, the evolutionist might even finish the story with a great roar from the bear that echoes through the wood. Yet this is not the story we love. So do you see, the Greeks tell the bear and the cooking pot. The materialists tell the bear and his new stuff. The evolutionists tell the bear and his brutal survival. Yet we love the bear and the hare with the happy ending. Why? What worldview would lead us to tell such a story? Well, I want to suggest to you tonight that the reason that we love stories with happy endings is because they reflect a biblical worldview. That is, that they reflect the story of the Bible. Now, you might be surprised to learn that the Bible had a storyline. It may be that you've never really looked at the Bible before, or if you have, you know a few stories like Adam and Eve, Noah and the Ark, feeding of the 5,000, but you're not aware of any overarching story. And to be honest, I don't blame you. Why would you know about the Bible unless someone explained it to you? But the shape of the Bible is a story. Consider the bookends, how the Bible starts and how the Bible ends. The Bible starts in the book of Genesis with creation, and the Bible ends in the book of Revelation with the new creation. So the Bible is the story from creation to new creation. But the thing I want to focus on now is the ending of the story. I want to show you part of the Bible that describes what the ending is like. I've printed the words on your sheet for you. If you would turn to that. The words are taken from the last book of the Bible called Revelation. And Revelation is a record of a vision that God gives a man called John, who was one of Jesus' disciples, the Apostle John. And in that vision, John is told about the ending of the world. So let me read to you part of that vision in sentence 3 and 4 from chapter 21. You can follow it on your sheet. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." There are a couple of things I just want to highlight to you about this extraordinary end. The first to note is that this ending that is described is a new beginning, a new state of affairs that will last forever. You can see it for yourself at the end of sentence 4. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So John isn't just talking about a highlight in the story of the world, after which things just revert to normal. He's actually talking about a change of order. The old order was dominated by death and suffering. But a new order will be established where death and suffering will be no more. Now, we try and capture this in the stories we tell by using the phrase, "and they lived happily ever after," or at least implying such a sentiment. But usually it doesn't work very well. So take the bear and the hare. See, once Christmas is over, life with the animals in the wood goes back to normal. And so really the end of the story is nothing more than a highlight of the year. But the end of the Bible is different. There is no fear of things returning to how they were, because the old order of things has passed away and a new order has begun. The second thing to note is that the end of the Bible is better than the beginning. The Bible began with God dwelling with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible ends with God dwelling not just with Adam and Eve, but with all his people in the Garden City. That's what John writes in sentence 3. "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." But the reason this end is better than the beginning is not just because there are more people, but because the people know God in a way that the first humans never did. You see, as the Bible unfolds and humanity becomes hostile to God, they were to learn what it would take for them to be included in God's people They were to learn of God's astonishing love towards them, who were themselves, quite frankly, wicked. And they were to learn of God the Father sending God the Son into the world to die on a cross in their place. You see something of the end is greater than the beginning in the story of the bear and the hare. You know, the relationship between them at the end is not the same as it was at the beginning. You might say the bear has new affections for hare. But that's just a dim reflection of the reality of which it speaks. In an earlier part of John's vision, in Revelation chapter 5, he sees how God's people will forever praise and sing about the undeserved love that he has shown them in sending his Son. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve couldn't sing that song. But in the new creation, all of God's people will. Well, where does that leave us? We do seem to love stories with happy endings. Why is that? Well, the stories we tell, if we're consistent, reflect the way we think about the world. Yet, the Greeks, the materialists, the evolutionists, if they're true to their worldview, ought not to love stories with happy endings. Yet we do. And we struggle to give a reason. The only reason to love stories with happy endings is that they reflect the truth of the story of the Bible. Maybe tonight you're here and you would like the opportunity to learn more about the biblical worldview and the God of whom it speaks. Rather than dismissing Christianity, maybe you can begin to see how it provides the only reason for the things that we and our families value. As I finish, let me mention two things that you might be interested in. The first is our Christianity Explore course. It's a 6-week course starting January 22nd. It's an opportunity to find out more about the Christian message. It's very informal. You won't be asked to read or pray, or sing, and you can ask any question you like. The second thing to say is Trinity at 10:30. We meet every Sunday at 10:30 in the hotel here in the conference room upstairs. The term card on your tables lets you know what we've been looking at each week. And of course, you're welcome to any of these meetings. Well, thanks very much for listening. We're going to continue our carols by candlelight now with O Come, All Ye Faithful.